This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
And welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios. And this week, we're talking with the Original 40 Brewing Company. I'm Tim Dennis, and with me as always is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim. So joining us today, we have Cosmo Sorrentino, the brewer for the Original 40 Brewing Company. We're going to talk about brewing beer around the world and around the country, Crispy Boys, IPAs, a special release stout, and a medal-winning beer or two. Cosmo, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Ready to talk beer.
Talking beer. We enjoy doing that.
Yes.
We do enjoy that. Right now, we're drinking a beer, and I figure the label, I enjoy the label very, very Urquell. Very Urquell there. So
it is cool.
Got to pay homage.
Yeah. We're drinking Czech to Czech. That's C-H-E-C-K to C-Z-E-C-H there.
I enjoy the pun as well.
Yeah. And this may
live in Czech to Czech.
Live in Czech to Czech. Yeah. And this may
like every brewer.
Yeah.
Every brewer, right? That's it. What do they say? If you want to get into brewing and be a millionaire, start with 3 million. They jumped, they went up from 2 million.
I thought it was
million.
Like 10. Oh, that's the cigar industry. You want to be a millionaire in the cigar industry? Start with 10.
Start with 10.
In beer, I think it's probably 3 to 5 million. So
used to be say start with 2, but inflation got that.
So. Yeah, indeed.
But Cosmo, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you joining us from beautiful San Diego, California.
Absolutely.
Nice. How is it out there? Is it scorching out there yet? Because we're getting good and warm here in Atlanta.
That's relative for us. There's been some hot days. It's been touching 80 and like 30% humidity. So that's a little that's definitely rough on us. You know, I'm putting on flip flops when I'm taking my boots off, but nothing like where I'm going.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you're gonna get the heat there, Austin, Texas. Yeah. We'll cover that a little bit later in the show. But I got a lot of friends in San Diego, and whether it's winter or summer, I'm always jealous of them because either way, they're more pleasant in the other direction. So.
Weather-wise, amazing.
Yeah,
I grew up here. I know. I completely agree with why people pay the rents they do here.
Oh, it's nuts. I was there for vacation many years ago, and was staying on a little, what do they call it, resort area.
Oh yeah,
and went to do some laundry before heading home, so I didn't take a bunch of dirty laundry home. And I'm in the laundry room, and the TV shows an ad for a new housing development. And it's like, did you think the dream of home ownership was beyond your reach? Now you can get 2-bedroom homes starting at only $349,000. And at the time, a home like that here in Atlanta was about 170, you know, 150, 170. And I'm like, wait, what did they just say?
Oh, they're probably much higher than that now.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. No doubt.
You can't get a 1-bedroom condo for that anymore in the park. Yeah.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. You know, we are into May here on the calendar, as it works that way. And Maybach, is it Maybach or Maybach, Cosmo?
I've always called them Maybach.
Maybach, that's okay.
I have not been in Germany during that season, though.
All right.
So
I'm not sure. That's what I wondered. I've always called it that as well.
I'm guessing it's with the strong I, because of when you have two vowels together, you pronounce the second one.
Okay.
Yeah.
You did a little German in college, right?
Yeah. Then enough to probably get myself in trouble or laughed at. So, yeah.
Right.
Or order a beer, as it turns out.
Which is really all you need to know.
So that would
be
my guess, Maybach.
But are you a fan of the Maybach, Cosmo?
Absolutely. I'm a fan of clean beer flavored beer. And if it's got a little extra punch to it for the season, I'm definitely okay with that.
I'm down with that. I haven't
on board with them.
Explored any of our local offerings yet because Maybach does look like one that most of your craft brewers, it doesn't hit distro because it is, you know, a quick seasonal there. But I bet if you check your local breweries, you're going to find a few.
Good chance of it. And first, I don't know if it's the official thing, but on the BJCP website I'm looking at, they group Maybach in with Hellesbach. So
okay,
you might see, if you don't see it called Maybach, you might see something Hellesbach, and it'll be very similar to that.
I got you.
I'm no expert on that particular style.
Me either.
I'll admit to it.
I'm not either. And that's what I was going to actually ask. Cosmo, what makes a perfect Maybach?
Well, The one that's most memorable to me, I worked for a German brewer when I was in Denmark, and he brought one in, and he pretty much told me that to them, Maibock is like Pliny is to us.
Okay.
It's that strong beer that you can have that doesn't feel like a strong beer and gets you in trouble real quick.
Oh.
So I think it's just that super clean, familiar profile, and then a little ramped up on the alcohol. But if you do it just right, you shouldn't know that until you stand up and you realize it.
Then you feel it.
You know, that checks out with the BJCP website. They say the range for Maibock is 6.3% to 7.4%. And I probably wouldn't have guessed that just based on the name.
Up there. Yeah. It's funny, though, because with the way we play with ABVs here in America, 6 to 7 doesn't even sound, you know, that terribly strong for me. But like this beer we're drinking right now, it's 4.8. And you see a lot, those, what, 4.2, 4.3, 4.8, hitting that 5 there. So I guess for those German styles, a 6 to 7 is a pretty darn strong beer, right?
Definitely. And, you know, using the technology they had and yeast and not having everything, these styles are still done pretty traditionally.
So yeah.
To be able to do that with what they had to work with, that's pretty big.
It's important to keep in mind that the IPA, once upon a time, 5.5%, 5.8% was pretty common. Oh, it's only recently that we're starting to get up in the 7%, so, and that'd be kind of average or normal.
The average, yeah.
It's creeped up a considerable amount.
6 to 7 to 10, doubles and triples.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all bets are off for those. Well, Tim, it's time for the beers of the week.
Brian, as always, great list of beers to get into, and thank you to our friends at The Nest. Go enjoy that patio while you can at The Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia, because it's not going to be comfortable much longer. They do have fans out there,
they
Brian.
They have fans.
They got big heaters for the winter. They got fans for the summer. They have TV. They have smoked wings, barbecue, and craft beer. So go check out The Nest in Kennesaw, Georgia. This week on the show, we're going to drink through as many of these as we can. Cosmo, thank you. Sent us a very fantastic beer selection. We're really excited to drink through these. We are right now, as we mentioned, drinking the Czech to Czech Bohemian Pilsner, which is extremely tasty. Is this one Tachi? Is that the way that's pronounced, Cosmo?
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
So we've got Tachi, which is going to be a Japanese lager. We have Cloud Noises, Brian.
Cloud Noises.
Clouds made some noises by me last night. Cloud Noises, yeah. DDH Hazy IPA, Snap Crackle Hop, which is a West Coast IPA with rice. Brian, I bet you're excited.
I am, yes.
To get up into that. Ashes from the Graved, which is a smoked brown ale. Another one, I bet, Brian.
Hey, oh, yes.
Smoke and West Coast.
Yep.
And then Rafiki's Ritual, an Imperial Stout. So we've got a good variety to get into, and it does not jive with Beer Twitter's ranting of everything being an IPA.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
we've
not everything is an IPA.
Of all of it. So, yeah, looking forward to get into all of those. Brian, what's happening in the news?
All right, Tim. So you know I'm a fan of weird beer news, and this odd news might help out some homebrewers out there looking to get some opinions on their beer. It seems your facial expression can reveal the kind of beers you like, at least according to a study done by Japanese brewery Asahi. Apparently, they had a real problem with testers of their new beverages lying about whether or not they actually liked the beer they were testing. So they were being too charitable, not wanting to get fired. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but that's kind of a problem. So they recorded the facial expression of 151 people while they were tasting three types of beer, but they needed some sort of judgment call on the part of the participants to, you know, compare the expressions to. So they asked them ingeniously, how many of each beer can would they like to take home? You could have between 1 and 10. So obviously that's the more cans you want, the more you like the beer. What they learned is that people tend to suck their lips when they enjoy a beer, a bit like saying, silently. And they tend to squeeze or purse their lips when they didn't care for the beer. So there you go. Anybody who has a beer out there or homebrew that you want to find out if somebody's really lying to you, watch their lips while they're drinking.
See, that's tricky because, you know, as a homebrewer, everybody likes free beer, Brian.
Yeah, it's true.
So if you're sharing your beer, now you got to start watching people's faces. You're going to bring some science in.
Yeah.
To find that.
I love it, but they grimace. So like,
Cosmo can use that in the brewery too. Staring you dead in the, are you staring at my lips? Yes, I am.
My eyes are up here.
You can't lie to me. You can't lie to me.
And so we've heard stories about bottle bombs, but now there's a case of a beer bottle starting a $700,000 house fire. It apparently happened in the Boston area. That sun shining through the beer bottle on the second floor of a deck for 5 hours is enough to set a deck ablaze, or at least some burnable material on a deck. So Now we've heard it all.
It'll happen. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take a break, but we'll be right back with the Original 40 Brewing Company.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's the perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Have you ever thought about owning your own brewery but don't know what it takes to get one built? We're Storytime Construction, and we build breweries. We're Georgia's most experienced and hands-on contractors when it comes to building new breweries and taprooms, or expanding existing breweries. We offer full buildouts, remodeling, and additions, as well as consulting and construction management. Give us a call at 770-733-4343. Storytime Construction. We build breweries.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to the Original 40 Brewing Company.
The Original 40 Brewing Company. Cosmo, that name, that is an interesting name for a brewery. There's got to be a story there. So why the Original 40 Brewing Company?
So we are in North Park, San Diego, which is the neighborhood that I was born in and have been around for the last 40 years. And it started as a 40-acre citrus grove. And we are within that area. So it's a little bit of an homage and a nod to that.
That's cool. I've talked to a few breweries that have kind of taken, you know, historic or geographical names, and it's fun to find out stuff that I didn't even know.
So it turns out I was looking around on that just out of curiosity, and I guess the whole citrus growth thing didn't go too well in that area. Lemons or something? They didn't grow well at all. They just said, you know what, this whole citrus thing isn't working here. We'll just try parceling out the land.
Yep, and then it really boomed with the war, with World War II. The naval hospital is right across from us, and so there's a lot of military housing and a lot of housing put in to support that.
Okay,
cool.
Yeah,
makes sense. Forget the citrus.
Yeah,
are these even lemons?
Yes, these lemons are terrible.
Well, Cosmo, we've moved on to another beer. We are on to Tachi now, and this is a Japanese lager. I'm assuming good little dose of rice in this one, correct?
Good little dose of rice. I didn't have any sriracha on hand, so I used Styrian cilia, and just really nice citrus lemon. Speaking of citrus lemons coming out of this one on top of the other noble characteristics, but really trying to get some of the ABVs lower, work on maintaining the body and the balance and the flavor, but making beers that you can have 3-4 or more of throughout a day. Especially with the weather getting warmer.
Yeah, that's we're drinking more and more of them. We've talked about this several times, but if there's a really good stout around and it's 100 degrees out, I'm not going to say no, but it's not going to be my first choice. You know, someone's sharing it. I'm going to go for more of these drinkable beers. Brian brought in a bucket of ice and a laser thermometer and stuff. To make sure his beer was cold enough today.
Yeah, I have a local beer that has a recommended serving temperature on the can, and I was trying to hit it 38 degrees. I've got an old fridge. My old fridge struggles to get stuff down to that level, and I pulled it out of the ice, and it was still like 42 degrees. I'm like, I didn't quite nail it.
So close.
But in this particular case, it's a Sweetwater beer. It does drink better cold, I think, because I had it warmer before. So.
You know, that brings up an interesting topic, kind of a hot topic right now, Cosmo. The cold IPA. What are your thoughts on the cold IPA?
I have a real issue with IPA as a term in general. I think it's overused. It has very little reference to what the actual beer is. It's a marketing tool, and that's kind of the epitome of it. It's like going back to the days about joking about Texas laws and different Southern laws where you had to put lager or ale on the beer no matter what it was, right, even though it wasn't actually that beer. So to skip calling it an IPL, which is a whole nother, you know, kind of thing in itself,
yeah,
to call it a cold IPA just even brings it further from what it is. And I understand trying to get beer to people and get it in their hand and get it in on their palate, and then they get to decide whether they like it or not. But it does really make it tough on bartenders and retailers and brewers when some of these not so subtle parts and terms in brewing become confusing because we kind of just give in to the consumer instead of educating them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you mentioned IPL, and we've, again, talked about it several times on the show. Founders Backstage Series, they put out Dissenter IPL in a 750. That's been 7-8 years ago now, yeah, Brian.
It's been forever ago.
But yeah, it was the first Founders Backstage beer that gathered dust on the shelves. You know, people were not touching an IPL. So then they moved on, and then you had Hoppy Lager. You know, and people were a little more receptive to that. Then we go cold IPA, and one of my favorite things to do, no matter my opinion on it, is to argue with people over the existence of cold IPA, yeah, compared to IPL, and to make memes mocking, yeah, that it's the same thing.
It's smoke and mirrors, people.
Yeah, but that's it. Just a good time.
The other thing on cold IPAs, and I had this discussion last week with another brewer, is that I've never had a cold IPA, IPL, whatever you want to say, where I would prefer that the brewer use those hops in a lager as opposed to an ale. Okay. I enjoy them, yeah, but I'd rather use them in an ale. And coming from a place where I have limited capacity and lines and all of that, if I'm going to use those hops, I'm going to put them in an ale.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm guessing that answers my question. Have you ever brewed one or tried to brew something close to that?
Absolutely. I have, and I'm always willing to try something once and brew something once. And I love to be challenged and, you know, to be told I can't do something or think that I can't do something and prove that wrong. But in the end, that's the conclusion that I've come to personally with it.
That's it. I wish I was still homebrewing, because I do like an imperial coffee stout and call it a long boil adjunct cold dark IPA.
A cold dark IPA?
Yeah.
It's a cold black IPA?
Yeah, not black. I'm going to specifically use dark.
Okay.
Since black IPA is already a thing.
Oh, that's true. You have to pick a different term.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So that's it. So look out for that.
Oh, no, pig.
The IPA. Opposite of a blonde stout. Now we have a dark. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it. Yeah. It's going to, you know what? It's going to be a dark blonde stout. There, we're going to bring it all together.
Dark blonde stout. So,
yeah.
I wonder if Dissenter came out now, would people, because people are much more in the craft world, much more into lagers, I wonder if it would be a completely different story.
No.
If it would take off.
I don't think so. People still don't go for IPL. Do you see that, Cosmo, that people still, IPL just doesn't sell, does
no.
it? Yeah.
Nope. And the thing is IPA is its own term.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know what those words mean, because if you do say black IPA, then you're creating an oxymoron just in that name.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's just, you know, how many people come in and order an IPA or whatever it may be. It's just that's the term, and it doesn't really mean anything other than whatever their favorite experience is with it. I mean, the fact that you can have a 3% super clear, crisp session IPA up through a 7% fruited vanilla milkshake hazy IPA to a 16% quadruple IPA. Those are all not related to each other. Right. So it just
sounds
becomes
so
too universal of a tomb.
Yeah, it sounds so crazy
IPA,
when
tell
you
me
say
more.
It. The quad.
Oh, I've had hop wines, quadruple IPAs. Yeah.
Hop wine. I'm hop intrigued wine. By this. Yeah. But I tend to agree with you. Calling that an IPA seems a little misleading.
Yeah. It's like, what is that show? Whose Line Is It Anyway? Where he's like, hey, everything's made up and nothing matters.
And the ABV doesn't
the
matter.
The ABV yeah. doesn't matter. So. Well, Cosmo, your background, you've been a little bit of everywhere. I think did some European traveling and brewing. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Tell us yeah. about your adventures. What took you to Europe for brewing? And tell us a little bit about that.
I originally went out to open a brewery with a high-end restaurant in Copenhagen, Denmark. Got out there, worked on that project for about 6 months. And classic story, got out, thought things were moving, thought we were like 8-10 months away from brewing. As things progressed, the lease wasn't signed, the equipment wasn't ordered. There was a couple other businesses that were sharing the space, and it ended up being a year and a half to 2 year timeline. So as I was packing my bags to go home, I got offered a job running the brew pub for Toul in Copenhagen while they were building their production facility just outside the of the town. So was able to work with them for just over 2 years, travel all around Europe, do collaborations, run their development program, and help them design the production facility. And then when they were opening that up, my lease was up on my house and everything, and ended up coming home, luckily, right before the pandemic started. But got to work with them, and they're now arguably the largest, one of the more influential breweries in Europe. They're doing contract brewing for McKellar, as well as several other people. They've got a 250,000 square foot facility on almost 50 acres, own water treatment plant, orchards, cidery, craft makers, distillery, everything going on. So really, really beautiful company.
Sounds awesome. We're going to continue this conversation in just a minute. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show, and we'll be right back with more from the Original 40 Brewing Company.
It's great to see our community coming back to life. The cold weather is fading away, and it's time to enjoy the greatest patio in Kennesaw. Join us at The Nest and spend some time with family, have a beer with a neighbor, or simply celebrate the end of another day. Make a reservation at thenestkennesaw.com for Sunday brunch and enjoy an overloaded Bloody Mary. At The Nest, you'll find smiling faces, great barbecue, and 48 taps of local craft beverages. Don't forget, our outdoor space is perfect for your four-legged best friend. We look forward to seeing you soon at The Nest.
The most award-winning brewery east of the Mississippi has come to Atlanta. Iron Hill Brewery and Restaurant is now serving in Dunwoody at Perimeter Mall and in Buckhead on Peachtree near Phipps Plaza, serving a variety of menu items from a completely scratch kitchen plus craft beer brewed 10 feet from your table. You have to try their cheese steak egg rolls paired with a signature craft beer. Iron Hill Brewery and Restaurant, serving Atlanta in Buckhead and Dunwoody. Drop in today or make a reservation or place a pickup or delivery order at ironhillbrewery.com.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, KVTA News Talk 1590 AM and 97.9 FM in Ventura, California. Catch Beer Guys Radio on KVTA every Saturday at 12 AM. Now let's get back to the Original 40 Brewing Company.
Cosmo, you know, San Diego, there's a little bit of beer there from what we hear. And
just a few.
There's always breweries that, you know, people know in the area. L. Smith, people know L. Smith and the other big brewers down there. I was recently introduced to your brewery, so new one for me, the Original 40. What would be yours if someone comes to San Diego and they want to get the great beer that is not the stuff that everybody knows about? Where do you go when you're not at your brewery?
I go to Tap Room. It's another brew pub right across the neighborhood from us that's got a great lineup of house-made beers as well as guest beers. They just got a new brewer. They just traded out Bill Batten, who I make Ashes from the Grave with that we'll try later, for Dan Cady, who came from McKellar. He was their barrel and sour beer specialist for the last 6 years. So he's been able to kind of let all of his creative energy go on all the other types of beers. So he's got a Graditsky on, he's got an English Mild on, he's got a few lagers. So great diversity, food-friendly beers. You're looking to go not in the hype range, but enjoying something a little bit more bigger ABV, some adjuncts, that kind of thing. North Park Beer is great. Kelsey's making great things. But my favorite brewery in San Diego is Pizza Port.
Pizza Port.
It's widely distributed, but going to the individual pizza ports, especially the one in Ocean Beach, they have their own, you know, little profile at each place. They'll have a couple of beers from the other pubs on at each pub, as well as their production stuff and guest beers. And the vibe there, being right across the bar, 5 feet from the brew system, all of that, you can't beat it. And it's one of the places that made me fall in love with the industry.
That's pretty awesome.
So once people have done that and they're heading over to the Original 40, what beer should they get acquainted with you guys with? Which, what beer would you start them off?
I would say any of the lagers. I always tell people, and I do the same thing when I walk into the place, I will choose the lightest beer on the board. And that's how I kind of set my benchmark of what they do well or where there might be issues, and then kind of order accordingly. I like to say that drinking a Pilsner is like, or making a Pilsner is like walking down the beach in a Speedo. Either you should or you shouldn't, and you know right away.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I drink a Pilsner and it's clean, I'll go for anything on the board that I think I'll like. Otherwise, I might be drinking Browns and Porters and some stuff that has a little bit more character.
Stuff with adjuncts to cover up flaws.
Something that can do a little bit of hiding there, sure enough.
Yeah.
So what would, you know, the people that are regulars or the people that are picking up your stuff, you know, around town, what are you known for? What are people buying typically from you?
To be honest, our flagship is Juice Maze. It's a hazy IPA. It's about 40% of our production, and that goes to a lot of our permanent handle accounts. And of course, it's a big seller in the tap room as well. It's a great recipe left to me from the brewer before that I kind of evolved a bit and brought some different techniques into. And we really try to ride the line between having that full juicy body, but having enough bitterness that it still is balanced. And so kind of a tweener beer, if I could say so, even though it's a 4.5 Plato finishing hazy. So that's what we're most known for, but I've tried to evolve that. And I just love brew pubs, and I love getting somebody into the facility and having them experience as a whole, not just the beer. So we do can, we distribute. Mostly that is a brand awareness thing, and a bit of a loss leader for us, just to show off the quality and get people in the door.
Yeah, unless you can really package large scale, you're not making a ton of money distributing packaged beer there. So marketing.
It's interesting, marketing putting expense, beer into distribution as kind of advertisement or a reminder, sure, like, hey, don't forget us. We got some good beer
here. Yeah. You grab it at the store, you see it somewhere else.
It's like, I've been over there in a while. I need to go over there. I'd rather get it fresh at the brewery, which is what crosses my mind every time I see a Sweetwater 420 or an IPA, especially the IPA. I'm like, ooh, I'd like to go back to the brewery and have that directly from them.
No. Yeah. You take the family in on a Saturday, like you go, you do the thing. And that's where, you know, I want to say we make it back, but more just the goal. To get people in and get them the real experience.
Indeed. So what is it we're drinking today? We've got
some snap crackle and hop here, Brian. We're going West Coast.
And that one also has rice in it, right? Is that a riced one?
It does, you know, kind of with the season, with the springtime. It wasn't planned this way. We actually came up with this beer in the fall when we were doing the collab at Viewpoint. This is a collaboration beer with Viewpoint Brewing Company, another amazing brew pub right next to the horse racing track here in town. And it's right on the coast. It's called Viewpoint because it has the best view, maybe top five views of tasting rooms in San Diego. But came up with this, and originally it was going to be a double IPA, but with the season and just personally wanting to work on lower ABV beers, we brought it back down to a single, put rice in it to lighten the body, but then also added some rye to give it a little character, so that it wasn't just thin underneath the hops. Mashed it a couple degrees higher than normal, so it still has a touch of the body underneath there, and then it's Strata, Amarillo, and Centennial. So a real nice blend of classic old school that we love and some of the new stuff that kind of accentuates and adds to that.
Nice. What, when it was going to be a dip, was there any thought of putting marshmallow fluff in it?
No, I did that once last year and I'm done.
Done. It's been done. There's
I
no,
had
done.
To ask with There's something
no
like
need
that.
To do it again. Yeah.
No. Those beers are great, and there's a market for them and people that enjoy them, but there's plenty of them on the shelves.
There are.
That's it. Yeah, you know what? I enjoy trying them every now and then. You know, it's not every now and then. Pretty much every chance I get, I'll give it a shot. We had a coconut imperial stout recently, but Weldworks. Stellar. I mean, if someone's going to do it and do it right, they're ones to get it.
You really can't go wrong. Yeah. But they make everything else so good, too. So you know, no matter what you get, it's going to be good.
And there's just different purposes for different beers. I call those beers festival beers. I'll go, I'll try a 2-ounce sample of them. Or if I'm at a beer dinner and it's presented in the appropriate amount with the right pairing and everything works together, awesome. I'm not sitting down and killing a 750 by myself.
Get some Black Tuesday, right?
I won't say I haven't done that, but it's not typically what I do. I usually find that I start regretting before the hangover even kicks in. I'm already regretting the opening up the 750 of, you know, Imperial pastry style in the 14% range.
Now I got all this sugar and alcohol. I still have to finish. I've opened it. I got to finish it now.
At a certain point, the term cloying comes to mind. I was like, oh my God, this is so much.
I don't remember the exact number of Cosmo, but I looked up one time, curious. One of those big, I mean, it was like an 18 or 19% Imperial style. And I looked up the info, and an 8-ounce serving, I think, was like 550 calories.
Oh. Yeah.
So like a 750 of this is like a 1600, 2000 calorie bottle of
100%.
Beer.
100%. Yeah. I mean, the Rafiki's that you've got there, a 12 ounce serving of that, I believe, is around, 650, 700 calories.
See? There you go, man. I'm a meal in a glass.
I'm bulking up, so it'll be fine.
Just a pastry stop for breakfast, a pastry stop for lunch, and a sensible dinner.
Exactly. That's such a great diet plan.
It is the party plan. You know, we're talking about doing the lagers and that. I always like to ask this. I've been asking a lot of people lately because we've got a great lager scene here. Several breweries that specialize in them, and every brewery does one or two, but I was surprised to hear other people saying not so much where they were. Is it big in San Diego? Do you have a good distribution of people doing pilsners, other lagers?
It's definitely picking up. I think it's one of the silver linings of the pandemic that people had tank space. And I think most of us have always wanted to make these styles, but with production schedules and profitability and all of that, they tip too long. They don't sell for as much. They don't gain the hype. But people had free tank space, and they wanted to make beers that lasted longer. So I'm seeing a lot of them. We've got six on the board right now at OG40. So almost as much as we do on the hoppy side, we have on the lager side. And it's nice to be able to develop a flight and say, yeah, these beers all look the same and they might sound the same, but this one has twice as much residual sugar. This one has more IBUs. This one has a different water profile, and really be able to show people the diversity in the simplicity.
Good stuff. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We got to take us another break. But we will be right back with more from Cosmo Sorrentino and the Original 40 Brewing Company. It's Brian and Tim, the Beer Guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the Beer Guys sent you.
The Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Cannonball coming.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now let's get back to the Original 40 Brewing Company.
Original 40 Brewing Company, this is a sprint segment. We're going to try and cover some good ground here, Cosmo. We've got three beers we want to give it
three
over.
Beers.
Three beers. We're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up for the Original 40 and the news on what's coming up for Cosmo. So I think we can cover all that. So the first one we've got here, Brian, would you hand me that can, sir? So not that one, the other one?
Oh, the other one.
That's the other one. We can do this. All right. So Cosmo, we just enjoyed Ashes from the Grave, which is a smoked brown ale. You said this is one of your favorites, though, correct?
Yes. This is a beer that I've made 12 times now at four different breweries. It started as our Halloween beer at Monkey Paw as a collaboration with Bill Batten from Alesmith. And we've both journeyed around different breweries, but this recipe always follows us. And it won the gold for the smoke category at World Beer Cup in 2016.
Cool.
And we're hoping for similar results on Friday. We've entered it again. And yeah, it's always evolving slightly. But just a really fun beer and a unique beer and something you don't find very often, but it's got a great following.
Now, how much smoke do you like in a beer? Like, how hardcore can the smoke get and it still work for you?
It comes down to the balance.
Okay.
I've made 100% smoked barley wine. We called it a Rauch wine, where we took 50% smoked base malt and then smoked all the rest of the specialty malts and made a 12% barley wine. and it worked really well. There's a huge malt, huge alcohol, so it was able to take on that smoke. But if you're making Helles, then probably going to reduce that smoke to maybe under 10%.
I have you know that for those that couldn't see him, Brian broke into tears when you mentioned rock wine.
That gif where the guy tumbles out of his chair.
Backwards and grabs.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, when I heard rock wine, I've never heard something so beautiful.
One we saw last? Munich wine?
Munich wine was something we were looking into.
Are you familiar with that, Cosmo?
I'm not. I've seen the hop wine. I've seen Rauch wine. I've never seen a Munich wine.
Yeah, and I forget the exact details on it now, Brian. I think you looked up some of the info, but I think there's only like two breweries maybe that have done it so far. But again, we should find all the
wines.
Dash wine beers and do that.
I love wheat wines. I'm a big fan of barley wines, wheat wines. I really wish they would come back and be hot. Rauch wine, now I'm a fan. I didn't even know it existed. And that Munich wine sounds really cool too. And that seems fairly niche and it may have been something dreamed up by a couple of brewers recently. Yeah, so I don't know if
it's another IPA, Brian.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's like all you have is these wheat wines and these rock wines. You know, how about making an IPA finally? We should move on to the next
Let's move on. I think there is some cloud noises.
Cloud
on the
noises.
Table here.
We open that up.
Cosmo Cloud Noises. Tell us about this one.
Rebrew of my first canned beer at Original 40. When I started there, it was during the attempted reopening in the holiday season of 2020. So we knew we had to do some canning, but we also thought we were opening up. Anyway, so came up with this beer. Originally, it was a super thick oat milk hazy IPA. Wanted to come out the gate with just straight juice. And since then, have kind of pulled back on things. So reworked this recipe a little bit and made it a little bit cleaner, used mostly cryo in it to get the oils in there without getting too much of the grassiness, and brought the oats back to bring the body down and let it balance out a bit without having to add the bitterness. And just a really nice, approachable beer that's a little different than our flagship Juice Maze. It has more of that melon and kind of sweet dankness as opposed to the big citrus notes of Juice Maze.
Yeah, and that's I don't know that all hops I can identify just boom. Of course, but cashmere is always one that jumps out to me. And I really enjoy the cashmere hop. It presents very well in this one. I mean, it's very upfront, as you mentioned, you know, that it's big in the beer. So I dig this.
Yeah, it's a great one. And if you want to bring back the thick oat milk one, you should have a fog noise or something like that, or fog noises.
Ooh, cloud noises, fog noises.
I like it.
Questionable ideas from Brian. Awesome. It's a good stuff.
As long as Humble Sea hasn't used it yet, they used all the fog stuff.
Right. Yeah.
You know what? Mm. Maybe not. If you
and I think Abomination has a couple into the fog or something. I'd have to look.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So there's a lot,
lot
of foggy
fog beers
out
there.
Yeah,
very foggy out there.
So. Very foggy.
Just like you said earlier, if you get sued, if you get a cease and desist, it's great. It's marketing.
It's gravy, man. It's gravy. It's just free advertising.
It's either going to market us, and you know what? If they decide to press it, we'll just go bankrupt. That's fine. You know, we'll just do what we got to do.
Yeah, this was
forget it. This too is much fine. Work. We'll just, too much work
we'll just
there.
Go on with our life.
So, Cosmo, we're going to use Rafiki's. I'm not quite ready to pour it, but Rafiki's Ritual, I lied. I've actually already poured it. So, we're fourth segmenting.
Yes, we are.
This time. But tell us a little bit more about what is going on in the future for the Original 40. And then we want to hear about where your personal journey is taking you.
So Original 40 is finding its stride. It opened right before the pandemic in 2019, had a really great momentum going. And then the world shut down on all of us. I came in, was assisting the guy who was the original brewer. He ended up moving on to cider and I took over the facility. And have really worked with the owner to get it dialed in and focused on what he wants it to be. He knew that beer was great. He liked beer, but he didn't really come from a background of running a brewery or being a regular at breweries. So it's hitting its stride. They're announcing their new brewer next week. I've been training him this week, but I won't drop that knowledge yet.
Okay.
But he has an immense amount of experience. He's a friend that I actually went to a bachelor party in Vegas with last year. So, and I had no idea. I didn't have a job. He applied on his own. So it's in great hands. It's the same kind of theme will continue with low ABV, lagers, diversity of styles, but staying away from some of the more hype-driven beers. Great food, all of that. really, really getting dialed in, really happy to leave it better than I found it and in a great spot. And I will be moving to Austin this weekend and taking over brewing at Lazarus Brewing Company. Brew pub, 2,200 barrels a year, all serving tanks all over the bar. And we're opening another facility in September that'll do twice that capacity with no distribution, same model. So next year I get to make 1.5 million pints of beer and serve them all in-house.
Okay, I was going to say 2,200 barrels.
Yeah.
That's a good chunk of beer for a brew pub.
Yeah.
You know, or even some of our little small nanos that just do distro. We've talked about it just a few weeks ago, 350, 500 barrels on some of these little guys and that. So
what takes you there? I mean, because San Diego is a pretty cool place.
San Diego is an amazing place to come as a beer drinker. As a brewer, it's evolved and it's succeeded. But with that success comes the necessity to give into marketing. You know, you have a lot of people moving around into different businesses and things become clicky and a big city becomes small very, very quick as well. So there was a little bit of that, which is what originally inspired me to go to Europe. And then after being in Copenhagen and taking it from having very little collaborations within town, no Brewers Guild, any of that kind of thing, and watching it grow to now there's three times as many breweries as there were in 2018. They're all collaborating. There's Brewers Guild. There's all of this. Same thing I see happening in Austin. There's a ton of young people with expendable income, tech jobs coming into town. It already has a great entertainment scene and nightlife scene. And there's still a Texas Brewers Guild. There's not an Austin Brewers Guild. So to be able to come in and be part of that, there's a few San Diego brewers that recently moved there. It has the potential as well as keeping all of my needs satiated outside of brewing.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
I get that. You know, we were talking here, as I mentioned to you a little bit earlier, Cosmo, about our beer laws changing, allowing some new things here in Georgia. Some of our OG brewers have been filing these laws 25 or 30 years, and they made the comment that it was a pain to have to brew under these old laws and live under this, but man, is it sure cool to be here as it's changing and as it's happening and to be able to be part of that, you know. And we know Austin's got some good breweries. They have a scene happening there, but I could definitely see that having, you know, some good room to build and grow and be part of.
Hey, Live Oak Hef is my daily drinker. I'm not going to complain.
And just make sure to keep Austin weird. I think that's a requirement.
Yeah,
when you go down there. So Cosmo, thank you so much for joining us. Thanks for introducing us to the Original 40 Brewing Company. So we're going to double down here. If people want to keep up with what's going on with the Original 40 Brewing Company, what's the best way to do that?
Original 40 Beer is our handle on Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Hit up the website. Sign up for the mailing list. But just drop on in. If you're in San Diego, come by.
Check it out. And do you know, I may be asking prematurely, but do you know where to follow Lazarus?
I do not.
I imagine if you look for Lazarus Brewing on the socials,
I'm thinking so.
You can find them.
Yeah, there's not too many of them.
Good stuff.
Should we stock your Instagram account in the meantime? Is that what should happen?
Please.
Okay,
there we go.
I'll be taking pictures and updating next week. I'm Cos the Brewer, COS the Brewer, all one word.
Excellent.
Cosmo, thanks again. We really appreciate it.
Ben, Brian, have a great evening.
Thank you much. That about wraps it up, Brian, for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Join us next week. We're heading to Nebraska to talk to Cross Strain Brewing. Right. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.